You're listening to Hurry, the Movie is Starting podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to take you on a journey. Well, actually, first, I just need to make a call real quick. You might be asking, who are you going to call at this time? Like, who's that important? Well, you know who I'm going to call? Ghostbusters! Ghostbusters Frozen Empire releases on March 22nd, and I'm going to pregame it for you. Now, I'm going to let you know, I'm going to come in, set you up for what you should know before going into this film by talking the lore that is Ghostbusters. Let's get bustin'. Ghostbusters started in 1984 as a supernatural comedy film directed by Ivan Reitman and written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Based on his own fascination with spirituality, Aykroyd conceived Ghostbusters as a project starring himself and John Belushi, in which they would venture through time and space battling supernatural threats. Following Belushi's death in 1982, gone too soon, and with Aykroyd's concept deemed financially impractical, Ramis was hired to help rewrite the script and set it in New York City. It was the first comedy film to employ expensive special effects, and Columbia Pictures, concerned about its relatively high $25 to $30 million budget, had little faith in the box office potential. Ghostbusters was released on June 8, 1984, to critical acclaim and became a cultural phenomenon. It was praised for its blend of comedy, action, and horror. Also, Bill Murray's performance was often singled out and praised in that throughout that movie. It earned $282.2 million during its initial theatrical run, making it the second highest-grossing film of 1984 in the U.S. and Canada, and the then-highest-grossing comedy ever. That's insane. It was the number one film in theaters for 7 consecutive weeks and one of only 4 films to gross more than $100 million that year. Further theatrical releases have increased the total gross to around $295.2 million, making it one of the most successful comedy films of the 1980s. Now that we know where the film began, let's jump into the story. After parapsychology professors Peter Venkman, Ray Stantz, and Egon Spengler experience their first encounter with a ghost at the New York Public Library, the university dean dismisses the credibility of their paranormal-focused research and fires them. The trio responds by establishing Ghostbusters, a paranormal investigation and elimination service operating out of a vacant firehouse. They develop nuclear-powered equipment to capture and contain ghosts, though business isn't initially booming. Following a paranormal activity in her apartment, Dana Barrett visits the Ghostbusters. She recounts witnessing a demonic dog-like creature in her refrigerator utter a single word. Ray and Egon research Zool and details of Dana's building while Peter inspects her apartment and unsuccessfully attempts to seduce her. The Ghostbusters are hired to remove a gluttonous ghost, Slimer, from the Sedgwick Hotel. Having failed to properly test their equipment, this is the first time we realize the magnitude of crossing the energy streams and how it could cause a catastrophic explosion. They capture the ghost and deposit it in an echo containment unit under the firehouse, but supernatural activity rapidly increases across the city, and the Ghostbusters become famous. They then hire a fourth member, Winston Zeddemore, to cope with growing demand. Suspicious of Ghostbusters, EPA Inspector Walter Peck asks to evaluate their equipment, but Peter stops him. Egon warns that the containment unit is nearing capacity and supernatural energy is surging across the city. Peter meets with Dana and informs her Zool is a demigod worshipped as a servant to Gozer the Gozerian, a shape-shifting god of destruction. Upon returning home, Dana is possessed by Zool, and a similar entity possesses her neighbor Louis Tully. Peter arrives and finds Dana Zool claiming to be the gatekeeper. Louis is brought to Egon by the police officers as he claims he is Vince Clortho, the keymaster. Because of this, the Ghostbusters agree they must keep the pair separated. Peck returns with law enforcement and city workers to have Ghostbusters arrested and their containment unit deactivated. This leads to an explosion that releases all the captured ghosts. Lewis escapes in the confusion and makes his way to the apartment building to join Dana. In jail, Ray and Egon reveal that Ivo Shandor, the leader of the Gozer-worshipping cult in the early 20th century, designed Dana's building to function as an antenna to attract and concentrate spiritual energy to summon Gozer and bring about the apocalypse. Faced with supernatural chaos across the city, the Ghostbusters convince the mayor to release them. The Ghostbusters then travel to a hidden temple located on top of the building as Dana and Lewis open the gate between dimensions and transform into demonic dogs. Gozer appears as a woman and attacks the Ghostbusters, then disappears when they try to retaliate. Her disembodied voice demands the Ghostbusters, "Choose the form of thy destructor." Ray accidentally recalls a beloved mascot from his childhood, and Gozer appears as a gigantic Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that begins destroying the city. Against his earlier advice, Egan instructs the team to cross their proton energy streams at the dimensional gate. The resulting explosion destroys Gozer's avatar, banishing it back to its dimension and closing the gateway. The Ghostbusters rescue Dana and Lewis from the wreckage and are welcomed to the city as heroes. And now we jump into Ghostbusters 2. Fast forward 5 years and the Ghostbusters have been sued for the property damage and banned from investigating the supernatural, forcing them out of business. Ray now owns an occult bookstore and works a side job along Winston as an unpopular children's entertainer. Spangler works in a laboratory experimenting with human emotions, and Venkman hosts a television talk show about physics. Dana Barrett, Peter's now ex-girlfriend, has an infant son named Oscar with her ex-husband and works at an art museum restoring artwork. She contacts the Ghostbusters after Oscar's baby stroller, seemingly by itself, stops at a busy intersection. At the museum, a painting of Viggo the Carpathian, a 16th century European tyrant and powerful magician, comes to life and enslaves Dana's boss, Yanosh. Viggo orders Yanosh to bring him a child to possess so he can escape the confines of his painting and live again to conquer the world. Naturally, Yanosh chooses Oscar. Meanwhile, the Ghostbusters discover a river of slime running through the abandoned beach pneumatic transit system. Ray obtains a sample but is attacked by the slime that accidentally breaks a pipe that falls onto a power line, causing a citywide blackout. The Ghostbusters are then arrested and taken to court for the damage and the investigating the supernatural, because at this point, Bustin no longer feels good. Upon presentation as evidence, the slime sample responds physically to the judge's tirade against the Ghostbusters, and then explodes, manifesting the ghosts of the Scolari brothers, whom the judge had previously sentenced to death. The Ghostbusters then capture the ghosts in exchange for a dismissal of charges and the right to resume their business. Until one night, the slime invades Dana's apartment, attacking her and Oscar. She seeks refuge with Peter, and they rekindle their relationship. The Ghostbusters discover the slime reacts to emotions and suspect it has amassed from all the negative emotions of New Yorkers. Which, let's be real, it's a lot of negative emotions. Determining Viggo and the slime are connected, Spangler, Ray, and Winston investigate the river of slime, but they're pulled in. They emerge at the museum and begin fighting with each other until Spangler realizes the slime's negative energy is influencing them. The Ghostbusters tell the mayor of the discoveries but are dismissed. His assistant, Jack Hardmire, has them committed to a psychiatric hospital to protect the mayor's political interests. A spirit appearing as Yanosh kidnaps Oscar, and Dana pursues them into the museum, which is then covered with impenetrable slime. On New Year's Eve, the slime rises to the streets, causing widespread supernatural chaos. Discovering Hardmire's actions, the enraged mayor fires him and the Ghostbusters are released. After realizing the positive symbol will rally the citizens and weaken the slime, the Ghostbusters use slime charged with positive emotions to animate and pilot the Statue of Liberty through the streets of New York. At the museum, the slime barrier opens up and the Ghostbusters use the statue's torch to break through the ceiling, stopping Viggo from possessing Oscar, and then repel through the ceiling and neutralize Yanosh with positive slime. Viggo takes on physical form, immobilizing Dana and the Ghostbusters, and recaptures Oscar. The gathered crowds outside begin singing a chorus of Auld Lang Syne, and their positivity weakens Viggo, sending him back to the painting and freeing the Ghostbusters. Viggo then possesses Ray, but the Ghostbusters use their weapons to free him and defeat him. And that leads us to Ghostbusters Afterlife. We fast forward another 32 years after the events and arrive in 2021's Ghostbusters Afterlife. Afterlife begins in Somerville, Oklahoma, as we see Spangler capturing an entity in occultist Ivo Shandor's mine outside the town, as he is being chased by another entity that he leads into his farm. He activates an elaborate setup on his property, but the power fails. Spangler manages to conceal the ghost trap away in his home before being attacked by the creature, and unfortunately ultimately suffers a fatal heart attack. Spangler's estranged, financially struggling daughter Callie inherits the farm and moves in with their children, Trevor and Phoebe, after being evicted from their Chicago apartment. Trevor becomes infatuated with car hop Lucky Domingo, and the scientifically minded Phoebe enrolls in a summer science class taught by seismologist Gary Gruberson, also known as Paul Rudd. Phoebe discovers the farmhouse is haunted, and the poltergeist residing in it leads her to the ghost trap, which she shows to Gary and her now new friend Podcast. Gary, a fan of the Ghostbusters, helps her learn more about them and her grandfather. He, Phoebe, and Podcast tamper with the trap, releasing one of Gozer the Gozerian's sentinels, which escapes to the mine. The farm ghost leads Phoebe to Spangler's underground laboratory, who, after revealing himself as her grandfather, guides her in restoring the Ghostbusters equipment. While testing the proton pack with Podcast, Phoebe finds a ghost they call Muncher that haunts Shandor's foundry and flees to the town. Having repaired the Ghostbusters Cadillac Ecto-1's engine, with Spangler's help, Trevor uses the car to chase Muncher with the pair. They capture it, but are arrested for damage incurred, and their equipment is immediately seized. Using the Ghostbusters telephone number that she had written down, Phoebe contacts Ray Stance for help and informs him of Spangler's death. He in turn tells her what became of the Ghostbusters after they defeated Viggo. After the Ghostbusters had disbanded, Spangler took off with the equipment and moved to Somerville to pursue an unspecified threat. Spangler's ghost then leads Callie to a wall of detailed notes and pictures he kept of his daughter's life, showing he cared more about her than she thought. Phoebe, Podcast Lucky, and Trevor find a Gozerian temple within the mine. Exploring further, they discover Shandor is alive in his casket, and automated proton cannons installed by Spangler stop Gozer's attempt to cross over. Zool and Vince Clortho possess Callie and Gary and destroy Spangler's equipment, allowing Gozer to escape. Shandor awakens and pledges his fealty to Gozer, but is killed nonetheless. The children discover Spangler's setup is an array of ghost traps buried around a dirt field. With supernatural chaos distracting the town, the neophyte Ghostbusters recover the seized equipment and head to the mine. Phoebe distracts Gozer so Podcast can capture Zool, freeing Callie and weakening Gozer's physical form. They lure him to the trap field, but it malfunctions and Gozer frees Zool, who possesses Lucky, and fully restores Gozer's power. Ray and the other surviving Ghostbusters, Venkman and Winston, arrive to help, and Gozer, after already having killed Egon, seeks to complete its revenge against the quartet for vanquishing it. Supported by Spangler's now-manifested ghosts, Phoebe battles Gozer with her grandfather's proton pack. The Ghostbusters help Phoebe restrain Gozer by crossing their proton streams while Trevor uses his to charge the trap's power source, allowing Callie to activate the ghost traps and capture the deity and his minions. Lucky and Gary are freed from their possessions, and Spangler reconciles with his family and friends before finally passing on to the afterlife. Later, the original Ghostbusters return to New York, and Venkman is revealed to be married to Dana Barrett. Winston, having become a wealthy entrepreneur and a family man since leaving the Ghostbusters, returns the fully restored Ecto-1 to the Ghostbusters firehouse. In the basement, a light on the Ecto-containment unit is seen flashing red. And that brings us to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. In this film, years after again stopping the apocalyptic deity Gozer the Gozerian in Somerville, Oklahoma, the veteran Ghostbusters must join forces with their new recruits to save the world in New York City from a powerful, death-chilling adversary who seeks to build a spectral army. The movie releases on March 22nd, and I, for one, am pretty excited. The first time I saw the trailer, I couldn't help complain about the CGI and how it looks similar to something we would see in the 10th adaptation of Indiana Jones. Just let him die already. But you know what? It's 2024, and I'm going to look past how the trailer feels like an alien invasion movie and proton pack up and head to the theater to watch this one. My dad and I really didn't connect much unless it had to do with sports or movies, and this was one of those franchises that he introduced me to at a young age, so it'll always hold that like special place in my heart, even if it becomes one of those franchises that doesn't know when to quit and we lose every essence of what the characters actually were. Thankfully, so far this hasn't been the case, because you know what? Bustin' makes me feel good! And don't forget, hurry! The movie is starting! Thanks for listening.